Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 1st of December.
It's the end of
the year.
It's bringing it on home. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was decent.
Yeah. You had good turkey. Did you make the turkey?
No. We bought from a restaurant.
No, that's smart. That's smart. Can't be too bad that way. Was it dry? Was it moist? Was it?
No, it was actually better than you'd think.
Really? Well, that's good. My turkey was outstanding. I'm not a big fan of turkey.
You splayed it and barbecued it. And
yeah, it's crazy.
Had 50 people over, and then you cooked up a bunch of pork belly and had another 50 people over.
Yeah, it was quite.
You're a scourge.
I'm a super turkey spreader. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Then I went fishing on Saturday and caught a pretty substantial kingfish and made like 20 pounds of kingfish smoked fish dip.
What do you do with all this food?
I give it away. Well, I do. Everybody, there's like, wait, once people know that I catch fish, and especially this time of year when it's kingfish, there's like my text messaging starts lighting up. You got some for me? I'll take some. I have a really good recipe that I made. So they really like it. And just goes. I had a whole refrigerator full of this Tupperware filled, and it's gone. It's gone. 20 pounds gone. Pretty amazing. Should start selling it.
But actually, you should. Yeah. That would be better.
Yep. Well, we have a lot going on. We have a substantial show tonight full of all sorts of great information. So I got to start with, of course, Monday, when I thought it wasn't possible to have, again, a Vaccine Monday announcement. I was thinking, what else could possibly be out there? But no, Moderna came in that now they have a 94.5% efficacy.
Does anybody think that we're being scammed?
Yeah, something's not right with all this. It's everybody's got to top each other and, you know, just come out with a little bit more information and stocks skyrocket. I mean, Moderna was up to like $178 today at the high, then it reversed down pretty hard. But this is a stock that was at like 70 only, I don't know, what, a month ago? 80? So it doubled once they came out with their announcements and then their continual announcements. And I don't know when the CEO of this company has any time to do anything because he's on TV and radio all the time. So It is the end of the month, start of the last 30 days for 2020. Arrivederci to 2020. From a market standpoint, of course, has been great. Pretty much everything else around is pretty bad. November was one of the best months in a very, very long time. Small caps were up 24.5% for the month. Small cap value. Pretty amazing. For 1 month. Bitcoin is back in action again. We see on CNBC, the Bitcoin ticker is once again on the screen at all times, giving us when and how and what the price is of Bitcoin. It did have an intraday high after this weekend and after Thanksgiving, having a 15% crash over those few days, and then just pop right back up. It's going to do this. It's going to have that.
Don't know what's going to happen when everything crashes, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yellen is confirmed as, well, it's not confirmed yet by the Senate and Congress, but she's confirmed as the pick for Treasury Secretary, and markets are very happy about that. Kind of interesting because everybody talks about all of her experience, but the one thing that she really doesn't have experience in is the area of negotiating with Congress, where she's going to have to try to extract money out of them for different purposes. So she has a good relationship
with
the Fed, of course. Yeah. December.
Learn on the job.
Yeah, on the job training as Treasury Secretary. Questioning what other good news can come. And we have cliffs everywhere. Nikola falling off a cliff. U.S. dollar shoved right off a cliff. We have the employment benefits cliff. So it looks like there's all sorts of cliffing going on. So that
is
much
Cliff
more.
December.
It is. So here we have, I'm going to give you a couple of things on the market update. November scorecard, oil up 25%. Small caps generally up 18%. Small cap value up 24%. Energy stocks up 30%. Bitcoin up 40%. The bank sector was up 25%. Cruise lines up 40%. And the long bond up 2%. Pretty good month. Everything was up.
Yeah, but I'd like to ask you.
Yeah.
With Biden coming in, why is oil up? Why wouldn't it be down? This is the alternative energy guy. He's going to create a lot of fancy jobs in the alternative energy space, and he's going to take us off of oil. He specifically said that.
I think that possibly it's because of the dollar sinking. That could be the only reason. Well, it could be a couple things. First, if we tie to the vaccine and the thought that with the vaccine we're going to have back to normal and that we're traveling again and we're trucking again and we're driving again and all the things that eat up gas. Like we're going to be going back to work, so people will be back in their cars, and we'll be back traveling, so people are going to be – the airlines are going to spend money on fuel. That could be one thing. And then I think the second thing is the dollar being down. But it doesn't make any sense if, in fact, Biden is all in on the new Green Deal.
I get the sense he's not.
You don't think he's all in?
No.
You think he's a fracker hiding in
I don't think he's a fracker necessarily, but I think he's a phony.
So you think he said all these things to get elected?
Yeah, well, that's what – you ever heard of that before?
Every single politician that gets elected. I mean, if for the most part, politicians say what they need to say that they feel that is going to create the most votes for them, and then they'll see what they can do, generally speaking, right?
Yeah.
So.
Who's going to pay for the wall?
Mexico's paid for the wall. Didn't they?
There you go.
We have the employment report this Friday. I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing. We've seen a lot better numbers come out considering the fact that we have all these initial claims. And I'm wondering, you know, how are we going to continue with that, right? You know, if we have all these 750,000 weekly initial claims, which there was some really weird story out there this week that they're not counting any of this right. I think I sent that to you. Where,
yes, this has been a very peculiar situation.
I don't understand, you know, what the problem is. And, you know, they're counting people twice. They're not counting other people. It's kind of like they're just saying, oh, the hell with it. We can't
figure
it out.
Checks to the prisoners?
Yeah, the prisoners are making out like bandits. PPP
program. Buy more cigarettes.
Right. PPP programs are just, money's just floating everywhere. It's like, there's no control. Why is it because it had to be done in such haste, or is it just really bad management? What's the story?
Well, it'll come out in the wash eventually, but it has to be bad management.
Which is not unusual for government.
But at the state level, too. It's everything.
Everywhere. All the way down, up and down, the whole entire spectrum of governance.
Yeah.
And probably nobody's going to care about any of this. You know, I think it's interesting because you look at the PPP program. Somebody just wrote me a request to do a show, and he specializes in restaurants and the business of restaurants and dining, and he said, "Well, look at this." I said, "What is it?" He says, "The PPP program. Did you know?" He says that the PPP program, if you got PPP money, let's say you got $100,000 to pay for rent, certain utilities, and for employees, right? That whole package. Did you know that you can't deduct the cost of any of those packages that you paid for if you use PPP money? So what that means is essentially turning it around a little bit differently. The PPP money is a taxable amount that comes in. So a lot of people that used all this money to pay for all this employment benefits or, you know, keeping employees on and all that, spent it all, and now we're going to have a big surprise when they wake up at the end of this year, like they have to include it on their tax return as a taxable income that they'll have to pay taxes on next year. The money's spent. It's gone.
I thought it was a loan.
It was a forgivable loan or a grant if it's forgivable. But the law now states that if there is a high belief that this will be forgiven, even though it may take longer than just, because I think they have a 90-day period, the SBA, to approve the loan for forgiveness. And those loan for forgiveness papers just came out like the last few weeks that were finalized. There was some out there for a while, but it's kind of like they kept on changing them. So what's happening is that there was a lot of weird questions about what qualifies, what doesn't qualify, how much percent has to be used for employment, how much can we use for rent and to keep it in the forgiven, potential forgiven status. And now they're telling us that, well, if you have a client that got this amount, the amount they utilized to pay for these other things is not a deductible expense. Lots of tax is going to be due. Lots of people are going to be on the hook, and especially those restaurants or establishments that utilize the money that really needed the money to survive and just filled that hole are going to have a massive tax implication on the back end of this.
This doesn't totally sound right.
You could look it up. I read the code on it too. That's what it says. And I confirmed this with a couple of CPAs before I gave my answer back. So there you go.
I get $100,000 PPP money.
Yep.
And then I take that $100,000 and give it to all the employees, $100,000. I don't get to write the $100,000 off that I gave to the employees?
That's correct.
How does that even work?
That is
doesn't make any sense.
Not because they're saying that you got the money, so it was like, I don't know. You know, it's a forgivable loan or forgivable grant.
Yeah, but I used it. I spent it. I spent it like capital expense.
Right, but they gave it to you.
I get so to write that off.
It would be the equivalent of getting revenue in and you would be able to write it off. I give you that. But you didn't have the revenue in. This was just, and then you wouldn't have had the, I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know. Look up PPP, no PPP loan deductibility of expenses.
It makes no sense.
Okay, I agree with you. Dow Jones Industrial Average hit 30,000 this week and then retreated. Kind of up last week and then back.
Well, it actually hit 30,000 last show.
Yeah, last show and then retreated down a bit.
Yeah, it'll bounce around this for a while.
Yep. Let's see what else we have here. I mentioned this each show now at the beginning. It would be... smart to listen live. We're at 9 o'clock in the evenings on Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern time over on DH Unplugged. And you can join in the chat room as well. Let's see here. Technicals. Oh, this is kind of interesting. The S&P 500 companies. I looked at this yesterday morning and today in the afternoon. 435 companies are now over their 200-day moving average. That's the highest level since May of 2013.
Shouldn't that trigger some sort of a indicator saying, hey?
Yeah, well, I did look back to that day, and I wanted to see back in May of 2013 what happened after. I mean, this is just a one-off observation because I knew you were going to ask that. So it seems the market slumped about 10% just after that before resuming the uptrend that it had after that moving forward. It's a strong indication if you have stocks that are all, you know, 435 out of 500 in the level above the 200-day moving average, meaning that it's a broad-based rally. So that's something that's good. You know, that's market breadth that we're talking about, and it's not just like a few stocks or that are holding everything up. Everything, I mean, November, everything moved. But then on Monday this week, there was kind of like, you know, a little bit of a sell-off and kind of not really terrible. It wasn't really that ugly. The Dow was kind of ugly, but under the surface, it was god-awful with the advanced decliners. It was a whole different discussion. Much better today, but I think you're starting to get into like the sinkhole area where you may start to see the, you know, the big names. If they start coming in, the whole thing kind of collapses a little bit, taking back some of the money that was gained in November 2020. Because that's not sustainable to keep on running up like that.
No. Definitely.
Yep. Well, we have a COVID update. Nothing good. So a couple other things, though, that were interesting. there was that AstraZeneca. Did we talk about the AstraZeneca 70, 90? Yeah, because that was last week when they came out with their announcement. They came out with this vaccine for the world. AstraZeneca is one of the companies that has the most reservations for their drug. They did a co-working with a company called Oxford. And all of a sudden they come out with this number and it's like, well, what's this number? Like, why is it 70? And then why is it 90? And it was very confusing. And it seems that there's some weird things that happened here. Whereas they dosed incorrectly a big group of the first dose of the vaccine for those participants, like only a half a dose.
Yes.
And then they did a full dose. Now, my concern about this is you start having all of a sudden this kind of bad data output because they're trying to move so goddamn fast to prove something, right? Aren't they all doing this? We're the ones. We're the company that saved the world.
Yeah.
And my concern is, and question to you also is, does this have a negative impact on people which are thinking about, hey, are these vaccines safe due to the fact that they've come out so quickly? You know, if there was an error in just the initial information that was provided, do they say, a lot of people that were thinking, okay, it seems safe and all, but wait a minute. If everybody's now on the thinking that there could be some errors of the effectiveness or the participation or the...
Personally, I don't think so.
You don't think this spooks anybody?
No.
So
I don't think people follow it that closely.
No. What are you hearing from people you know? Are they going to take the vaccine?
It doesn't come up in the conversation much.
No.
I think a lot of people aren't going to take the vaccine, but I think most people will take it. I remember the swine flu era. They were lined up around the block, and that was the most dubious situation ever.
Did you take it?
And if you remember, you were supposed to get two shots.
Did you take a vaccine?
No, I don't. I don't. No, I don't.
No. Nope. Yeah, I don't know.
I used Tamiflu or Relenza. I used one of the antivirals if I catch a flu. I haven't. Last time I kind of caught one was back in 2017.
Mm. That's what you get for staying in your house all the time. It's good. Staying in the basement works, Joe.
The house I was staying, I caught it in London, so.
Oh. Yeah, well, Joe had the right idea, staying in the basement. Maybe he could set up a little, like, oval office down there.
I think he should. It'd be great.
And down from Joe Biden's basement, we have the presidential update. Well, today, all day, it was... I get this news feed. I have a few of them, but one of them in particular, you know, throughout the day, this company announces this or this happens there or this kind of economic news. All day today, every other item was about stimulus. We're going to have a $900 billion stimulus. It's being discussed by this party and this group. Then McInerney comes out and says, no, well, you know what? I heard there's something about that, but we haven't been talking about that here in the White House. Then we see that Mitch McConnell is going to put together a $900 billion deal and put it on the floor. Then that's not going to happen. Now the Senate GOP wants a $429 billion, remember that number, $429 billion program for federal unemployment insurance and assistance, small businesses, and other COVID-19 relief programs. So it was kind of like back and forth all day, all over the place. I don't know what they were doing, but they were just floating trial balloons, or I don't know what the purpose of this was. All day.
I have no idea. All I know is that we have the same situation with the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats want to slip a bunch of stuff into these appropriations, including state bailouts for incompetent governors. And the Republicans don't want to give that money out for that.
I mean, we've had things like, I'm making this one up, but like, you know, chopstick usage classes. $3 million.
Yeah.
I mean,
stuff like that.
Crazy stuff like this that goes out into these. That's what the pork is. But that $429 billion, where is that? What is that? Do you remember that number from anywhere?
It sounds familiar, but no.
That was the money that Mnuchin took back from the Fed last week when I said, I bet they're going to try to use this for some kind of stimulus package to try to slip it through pretty quickly without getting any kind of major backlash, because this is money that we already allocated.
Oh, good catch.
So that's what they're doing. $429 billion. Huh. Which would be easy. That would be good, because we have a problem. The problem is that by the end of this month, I think it's the day after Christmas, pretty much all the federal unemployment assistance programs run out. They're done.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So that's what we call a bag of coal that you got to get on your mantle. That's a problem. I think it affects 12 million people. 12 million people.
What day it gives out right after Christmas?
I think it's right after Christmas is the last, either the last one or the cutoff.
That'll affect the market.
Yeah, they're going to try to get this done somehow.
If they get it done, the market will also get affected.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the market was moving all over the place today. It was insane what was going on. Every time there's a little thing, bump up, bump down, bump up, bump down. And the markets want the stimulus. Well, we have no fraud alert. We have a no fraud alert, no fraud. Attorney General William Barr, did you see this story? He says there's no evidence of voter fraud that would have changed the outcome of the 2020 election. Now, that's interesting.
Well, I haven't heard him actually say it. That's a quote. I don't trust these guys anymore, but yeah, and I like to hear it in context.
There was something else about he was doing a few other weird things, too, like trying to squash some Clinton tapes or something. I don't know anything about that. If that is true, let's assume for a moment it is true that he said this. Why would he be doing this if he's been such an advocate for Trump?
He wants another job with the Biden administration? I don't know.
Exactly. That's what it is. He's cleaning up his resume. So, ultraviolet lights. Seems that people trying to kill the coronavirus with ultraviolet C germicidal lamps may risk painful eye injuries if they aren't careful.
Oh, yeah.
So, Florida researchers reported at least 7 cases of patients with UVC damage to their cornea, the eye's outer layer, and then left them with burning sensations and sensitivity to light after they used these lamps, according to a report. What are they doing? Why are they looking at this light? Why are they shining it on themselves?
I don't know what they're doing wrong. These lights are in a lot of hospitals have them. They're usually in a place where you can't look at them. I don't know. I have no idea. I was baffled by this story too. I know that ultraviolet lights, the real ones, not the cheap little black lights, but the real deal ones, the ones that can kill bacteria, they can blind you, literally.
I guess it's like, don't look at the sun. Okay. You know, everybody starts looking at the sun. Don't look in that light. But that's a problem, because this is what was supposed to be really good for cleansing the bacteria in certain settings, right?
Yeah.
There's always a problem. I mean, I guess, you know, what's worse, getting the COVID, dying, or maybe having a little bit of an eye pain?
It's more an eye pain. It's a sunburned eyeball.
Oh.
You could take, you know, somebody built one of these things with a nice filter, like a HEPA filter or something like that, and had one of the lights inside, and it was recirculating air past the UV light in an enclosure. That would be a good product.
This is going to be, you ever watch The Chronicles of Riddick? Where his eyes
were. I know about it, but I haven't.
Yeah, they shined his eyes. He's always got to wear special glasses. Holiday shopping. You know, last week we talked about how the National Retail Federation said there's going to be like a 3-5% increase, blah, 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 and overall, you know, retail shopping and all that. Well, we got a couple of different things in. First, we got the Cyber Monday, which was a blowout, huge numbers on Cyber Monday. That was good. That was probably expected. But here's interesting, a little stat for you here. Traffic at stores, the actual stores, on Black Friday fell by 52% compared to last year.
Well, that's just solely COVID.
Yeah, of course it is. But spending on Black Friday this year surged 21% to hit a new record.
Well, I think most of the stores have online angles, you know, online, modules. They can do online sales, and I think they can keep up.
Yeah. I went to Best Buy like an idiot.
Online or Best Buy?
Well, I went to Best Buy because I did the online buying and the curbside pickup. My father-in-law calls me, says, my TV is not working. I'm like, oh, okay. So it was Friday, and I'm like, let me just buy it on Best Buy and go pick it up, thinking, I don't know what I was thinking, that how bad could the lines be?
Oh, I can imagine. It must be miserable.
You got to wonder, how bad is a wait when several cars open their trunks and people are just sitting or laying in their trunks waiting?
Close the trunk on them. I have a Best Buy tip for you.
Oh, yeah?
Best Buy will match online prices of Amazon and everything you can find. So if Best Buy has a product, although many of their products are like, you know, specific SKUs for them, so you can't really make this work. But if they have any product at all, and I've done this a couple of times, you ask them, can you find me a better price? And ask them to do it.
Oh.
There's usually some guy, some nerd that works at the store who'll go online, find a much better price, sometimes really a bigger, like a lot, you can save a lot of money, find the price, got one, and then they'll sell it to you at that price. They actually help you find a better price.
Yeah, challenge.
It's pretty funny.
I bet you can't find a better price. Let's see how smart you are. Have a little challenge for them. And then they'll match it, right? They'll match pretty much. There was a while that when they wouldn't do, I remember there was a while that they wouldn't do certain Amazon products. If it wasn't like an Amazon product or something like that, if it was a third party, they wouldn't match it. And I said, what do you mean? It's the same. So I'll buy from the third party. What's the difference? Well, it's not officially the Amazon price.
Actually, I never had a problem with them and their price matching.
Hmm. Well, we actually got the real numbers today, and we hit the low end of the expectations of what Adobe Analytics was predicting. So there was a good weekend. It was a good Cyber Monday, but again, it was a little bit lighter than expected because I think people probably have gotten used to it. They're not waiting necessarily for those. I've never personally gotten any deals on Cyber Monday that's like outstanding, unless it's specifically, hey, take 25% off your bill. It's not like
it's just 25% here and there. I mean, it's just random. Right. I looked through all the deals on Amazon. I didn't see one. I saw one thing I'm going to buy as a gift, but it was cheap anyway. And it was, it's like 10 bucks off, 15 bucks off of different things. It's just not, I didn't see anything that was aggressive.
You know, for years I would go to the boat shows. I'd do the Miami boat show back when I lived in New York. I went to the New York boat show with my parents and we used to go to the Javits Center, and I think it was at Madison Square Garden there was something, and there was something in the Coliseum out in Long Island. And I'd come down here. It was always the big thing to go to the Miami boat show, you know. And you go to the boat show, and there'd always be something there you could find that was like, wow, that's great. Wow, look at that price. That's unbelievable, right? The last number of years down here in the Fort Lauderdale boat show, I would go, and I would look for things, you know, okay, it's interesting. But in the old days, before the internet, you'd go to the boat show.
Stop. What were you looking for? What kind of thing were you looking for? A boat?
Yeah, you know, boating part or maybe a piece of electronics, maybe a new Garmin depth finder.
Like a radar or something like that.
You go for different things. What's new in the world of some kind of bait or something that they're showing you? You know, listen, you're a fisherman. They show you a video of somebody catching a fish, and they probably spliced it together over time, and he keeps on catching fish after fish after fish with a specific lure. You're like, all right, I'll buy it. You know, it's just, what do? You just get sucked right into it. So I used to go and used to get kind of deals on just stuff, different things, and you'd find things that you never saw before. Well, these days, everything that I need or could possibly want shows up on the internet, on YouTube, on different sites. So there's nothing new at the boat show. And I went one year and I said, you know, I need a gaff. You know, gaff is, you know what a gaff is?
Yeah.
So I need
a gaff is one of two things.
Oh.
One is a huge mistake that Joe Biden makes. The other thing is the thing you stick into a fish so you can pull it into the boat.
Right. So I needed the second one you described. And so I said, you know, that's a good gaff. It's exactly, it has this Winthrop hook on it. I had the height that I want. I said, how much is that gaff? He said, $325. I said, oh, well, that seems expensive, but okay. I said, how much is it usually? What kind of deal am I getting here? He goes, $325. I said, wait. So if I go to your store tomorrow and I want to buy this, I'm going to pay $325, he says. And if I buy it here at the boat show where there's supposed to be deals, it's going to be $325. Where's the deal? He says, there's no more deals anymore. You're not getting these deals. It's not happening. So there's no deals anymore. I bought a hose once. I thought it was a good price. I went home with it. It's one of these shrink-up hoses. I found it for like $10 cheaper on Amazon.
Did you ask him specifically why there's no deals anymore?
He said because
what's the point?
Because there's so much demand that goes to the boat shows now that there's just no reason to put a deal. Some of the boats sometimes have deals and some other things have deals, but generally speaking, a lot of the accessories are not, there's no deals. Unless it's like the last day and they want to get rid of something maybe. Terrible.
Well, that's the one thing that used to be great about CES, even though you had to time it. If you go to CES, this Consumer Electronics Show, and you go on the last day, you can usually take stuff home with about half the price, like wholesale prices right off the floor. Because they don't want to ship them back. It costs too much. And it's used.
Right.
Gently, you get speakers, microphones. You get a lot of stuff.
Right. More big box retail store deals. Now, if you remember, last month we had the Ulta cosmetics going into Targets, which we were like, what's that? What's the point of that? How's that work? Ulta has their own stores, but everybody was excited. Target was, you know, because you announce a deal, everybody just gets excited. They don't look at the details of it, nothing. They just look at the headline. Everybody says, I'm buying that stock now. That's what I'm doing. Well, Kohl's announced today that it's going to be going all in by offering 2,500 square feet of space with a prominent location at the front of the store for Sephora, which is the makeup line.
Yeah.
So there's going to be 200 locations are set to open in the fall of 2021 and will expand to at least 850 stores by 2023. And the Kohl's.com online beauty selection will be converted to exclusively showcase Sephora's prestige products. Makeup, skincare, hair care, fragrance brands. I guess they're really grasping at straws now to get people to come into the store. But the problem is, if you know anything about shopping, John, and I know you do, where do you put the eggs and the bread? Do you put it in the front of the store?
No, you put it back somewhere where people have to go plowing through other stuff to get to it because people always need eggs and bread.
Right. So,
and milk.
Why would they put this in the front of the store? They're not thinking. I mean, these people, this is the reason why these stores are so terrible. Macy's, the worst place to shop in the world. It's impossible to find anything unless you know exactly where you're going. And God forbid you need multiple parts of a wardrobe, a shirt, socks, and pants. You got to go like four different locations in the men's department. It's ridiculous.
A lot of these stores have sold out to compartmentalization where you have, you know, they have just sections that somebody, you know, Yves Saint Laurent will buy a little area and they end up having that place to themselves and they kind of run it. The centralized buying has fallen by the wayside. There's a lot of things that have changed.
Yep. Amazon's getting in the holiday spirit. They're saying that they're going to spend more than $500 million on one-time bonuses for their frontline employees in the United States who are working the holiday season amid the COVID-19 panic or pandemic, whatever it is. Full-time operation staff in the United States who are employed by Amazon from December 1st to December 31st will receive a bonus of $300. Part-timers will get $150. So I think they're probably, I was thinking about this, you know, I think they're probably looking for a little bit of goodwill here after they're getting slammed for their conditions and what they did to their workers during the COVID, the beginning phase of the pandemic. They got a lot of flack for how they treated their employees.
Yeah, and that really hurt their bottom line, didn't it?
Yeah, a lot. Lots. And nobody's buying from them anymore either. Everybody said the hell with them. China. Under the surface of China. So much to talk about tonight. China. Bonds default. Bond defaults in China by state-linked companies are set to continue into the new year because there's all these zombie companies out there. And some high-profile state businesses like Yaching Coal and Electricity and chip maker Tsinghua Unigroup and Huashen Automotive Group are defaulting. But yet Chinese economics continue to beat expectations and they're like the poster child for the world post-COVID. Do we believe any of the crap they're putting out?
No. This is a trap. It's a trap.
Yeah. Tesla stock just won't go down, and this is really interesting. It's creating a big problem. So there was an announcement this week that, remember we talked about how the S&P 500, the addition, was going to possibly come in parts. They were going to phase it in.
Yeah, I guess they gave up on that idea. Yep.
Gave up on it. They said, the hell with it. It's going in one shot. Now, here's the problem. With the stock going up, it takes more of a position inside the S&P 500 because the market cap weighted. So the more it goes up, the more index funds have to buy. The more index funds they have to buy, the more the stock goes up.
What brainiac came up with this idea to put them on that index in the first place?
S&P, yeah, with a stock that's up 500% for the year with minimal earnings, S&P wants to compete. They fell behind the NASDAQ dramatically, just like the Dow was having problems. And they added, over the years, like Apple, and they added Salesforce, for example. So they're falling behind and they want to be relevant. They want, you know, the more people that invest, they get a lot more money from the royalties of people investing in the Dow Jones Industrial Average funds, the ETFs and things like that. They pay the people that lease out the data. So I guess they need more money flowing in. Therefore, they have to have better returns and they're just grasping at straws. But this one, I think, is a pretty big reach.
I think it's going to be responsible for exacerbating any sort of collapse that may occur, especially when Tesla stock starts to get real.
I just find that there's a lot of competition.
By the way, Tesla's market cap is such that I don't understand why they're not buying Ford or GM, just going nuts on the acquisition market.
Yeah, there was some comments by Elon Musk that, you know, he's not really going to go after M&A, but if something comes up and somebody says, hey, maybe there's an electric car company you could buy, maybe we'll look into it. We'll consider it. But we're not going to be doing any kind of leverage buyouts or hostile takeovers or anything like that. What are you eating?
I'm not eating anything.
Oh, okay.
I'm just making noise.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. We can make noise. But it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. I mean, Tesla was, I think, down for a while today. Then it came right back up after this big announcement. It's close to closing in on $600 a share. It's up 40% since the announcement. It's going to be like the sixth or seventh largest position in the S&P 500.
A disaster waiting to happen.
Yep. Now, what do you think about this? I'm sure you talked about this on the No Agenda show. By the way, No Agenda with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, Thursdays and Sundays. So you know what I'm doing right now? You know what I'm doing? I want some cred for this, right? I'm punching people in the mouth, aren't I?
Yeah.
Am I not? That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So you need to listen to No Agenda this on Thursdays and on Sundays at 12 p.m. Eastern Time live, or you can get it from, you know, iTunes or wherever else you want to grab your podcast from. And they talk about all sorts of great things. One of the things I'm sure you're going to be talking about, if you haven't talked about it yet, is this whole Iranian scientist that was,
we already talked about it.
Yep. And what did you come up with?
We had no idea. I mean, it's like he was killed, but he could have been killed by a jilted lover for all we can tell. I mean, there's no evidence one way or the other who did it.
Well, that's the sign of a really good assassination.
Yes. Pros.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Which leads you right to the Israelis, right?
Well, that's what everybody thinks, but you don't know that for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of interesting timing as we started to get more information about that they were, continuing on their nuclear enrichment program and breaking the agreements and kind of snubbing all the things.
Well, one analysis is that it was a Netanyahu poisoning the well for further negotiations between the upcoming Biden administration and Iran before the Trump is out. I'm probably approved by Trump's people.
Yeah, some people in the chat room, by the way, are talking about how they love No Agenda Show, but they were really upset when Adam was raking you over the coals for your commentary on Maradona. When you were I listened to it also. When you talked about how
a big
how
sports fan Adam.
But that's what as I was listening to that, knowing that I wasn't quite sure if he knew that he was a soccer player or not. By the way, but as I was listening to that, and you were saying, well, you know, he's got good stats and all that, but not as good as maybe Pele, and you kind of went through this, and he was like, he just couldn't tolerate listening to it. He shut you down.
I don't get it. He doesn't even like sports.
I don't know. Maybe this is one. I don't know. He is European of background, so maybe at least soccer.
By nature.
By soccer. You have to just love soccer no matter what. Anyway, politics, the pardons are coming. Flynn officially pardoned just before Thanksgiving. There you are. It's going to be more.
I think he's going to pardon a few hundred people.
Yeah. Biden boot camp. President-elect Joe Biden has a hairline fracture in his midfoot. Did you see the story?
In his what?
He has a fracture in his midfoot, which I guess it's the middle of your foot, I guess, which is going to likely require a walking boot for several weeks. See, he was playing with his dog.
Well, he doesn't look enough like Frankenstein after his head's been removed twice.
he was playing with his dog, Major. Of course, a politician has a dog named Major, Sarge, on Saturday. And he slipped a little bit and kind of, I mean, you know, that's a problem. A guy that's 78 years old or whatever it is, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. You got like osteoporosis and all that. And you just, you know, it's your bones are brittle. So sitting and standing is hazardous.
No, I didn't know. This is funny.
Yep.
Not that I wish ill on the man.
Yep. Nikola, you know this company. This is the company that pushed the truck downhill and that their CEO the founder had to resign. And the GM came in with $2 billion to God knows what, supposedly with all sorts of great research and stood behind their call until things started falling apart. And just this week, they said, you know, I think we're going to be changing the deal here. So the company said they have a memorandum of understanding. Oh, that's bad. You know, an indication of interest, a memorandum of understanding. That means that somebody scribbles some things on a piece of paper, says, yeah, we'll think about this and maybe we'll do some things together.
Yeah. Memorandum of understandings are
breakable.
They don't mean anything. Yeah. It's not a contract.
Right. So they have this memorandum of understanding for fuel cell supply that replaces the blockbuster agreement that was announced on September 6th. So the automaker, GM, is no longer taking an equity stake in the electric company under the stripped-down agreement, which is a big backing up of what they had before. Nikola
get this fuel cell thing. I thought this was an electric car company.
They had hydrogen cell something or other that they said, and it was kind of stupid. And
the same old hydrogen cell everyone uses.
Right. So Nikola now was asked to give back the deposits on their Badger e-truck. That was a pretty cool-looking truck. Well, listen, it was CGI.
Hire a couple of good-looking artists that know what they're doing.
Exactly.
You can get a good-looking truck drawn.
Exactly. It was what it was. It was all lit up. It was cool interior. So they're asked to give back the deposits on the Badger e-truck. So I guess that's not even going either. So not only their small truck, forget about the big truck. That's probably the one they rolled down the hill that they swear works, that they have some that are working.
Yes. Once that rolling down the hill thing came out, I don't understand why anyone would touch this company.
Yeah. It's down about 14% today or so. It's down at about $17. I think it was about 90 at one point, something like that.
I've been a good short.
Yep. IPOs this week looks like DoorDash is going to price between $75 and $85 per share, about a $2.8 billion initial public offering for a company that I think is still losing money. But you know it's going to be grabbed up and everybody's going to be all excited about it, even though they see that other companies in the industry are doing very poorly. That Uber Eats
is a loser.
Yeah, but they're going to grab it up. You'll see. You'll see. This is a bit high priced. So I'll see how this works. Usually you see the $25 ones that skyrocket. $75, I think they're being a little greedy.
It's not going to skyrocket. It's already too high.
Yeah. Airbnb is also going to be pricing shortly. A company, an M&A today that we heard about last week, there was some rumors about this Slack, which is this collaborative working environment that competes with Teams, Microsoft Teams. Salesforce was rumored, then confirmed today. They're going to be buying the company. Going to be partial stock, partial cash. I had somebody that I know that owned this stock, and I looked at the price, and it was about 26 when the kind of rumor came out. And the question was, well, what are they going to buy it at? I'm like, I don't know exactly, but if I can
40
speculate,
is what they say.
Yeah, what I can speculate was, you know, the $40 handle thereabouts was the all time high. They're going to probably want at least that much, if not a little bit more. So yeah. The number is going to be 44. That's the number. So they're going to probably be competing with Microsoft. This is a direct hit to the side of Microsoft, by the way.
Yeah, but people, a lot of these startups, a lot of people use Slack and prefer it. And it's like, as you know, you're kind of hooked onto your company just 24/7 when you're using Slack. It's a winner.
Have you ever seen people using it? Like, it's nonstop streams of information that just, I don't know how people do it.
No, you have to be a millennial or a Zoomer.
Yeah, I don't understand it because it's like, you know, it's the
no normal person would want to deal with it.
No, it's too much.
And you grill them about it. What are you doing this for? You're making yourself miserable.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I said, can't you just? Oh yeah, you could stop. You don't have to do it. You don't have to be that plugged in. But you know, but they still are.
I mean, there's some great features about it for collaboration within office, for handoffs, and for use of. Data retrieval.
It's definitely a good way to hide what you're doing because nothing is ever recorded.
It's not?
Not far as I know.
I would think a company would want to record it for compliance purposes.
It's my understanding. Huh. I could be wrong.
All right. Travel and airlines. I'm wrong. I'm moving fast today. Sorry. Travel and airlines last Sunday marked the busiest travel day at U.S. airports since March, prompting concern among the nation's top health officials. Who feared that the uptick in travel may hinder efforts to stem the spread of coronavirus. The TSA screened almost a million two individuals at checkpoints across the country on November 29th, marking the highest passenger volume since around March 16th. So I guess some of the...
people are getting sick of being cooped up.
Sick of being sick, yep. Election is still an issue. Rand Paul claimed that there was statistical fraud was found in four states where President Donald Trump lost his election with these data dumps in the middle of the night. And he tweeted that there was these anomalies in vote counts and all this stuff. And there's these vote spikes in Michigan and Wisconsin and Georgia. And is it going to end? I guess it's never going to end. Because it's always going to be, okay, and then we're going to have the not my president thing going on soon, right?
Yeah, not my president. Well, you know, you deserve it. I mean, you had not my president with the other, when Trump was president. Now you're going to have not my president.
Not my president.
I mean, this is the latest thing.
Not my president. Beer fraud alert. A New York man says that he and other consumers have been duped into believing that Tecate beer is Mexican when it's actually made by Dutch company Heineken in Holland. Miguel Schlametti says that the beer is masquerading as Mexican through the brand name, the traditional Mesoamerican typeface, the mythical Aztec eagle emblazed on the product and the statement original and cerveza on the labeling, according to this lawsuit. Also, Tecate's website says, Hecha en Tecate, Baja California, Mexico, and born and brewed in the land we are proud to share our name with, Tecate. They're mad. What's the difference? Is it like...
It doesn't make any sense to me.
What, that it's being brewed somewhere else or that he's suing?
Well, because there's the shipping and all the rest of the costs. And Heineken can open up shop in Mexico. If they own Tecate, why don't they just brew it in Mexico and save all that money? They got the equipment's the same. Brewers are brewers. It's just this whole story doesn't make any sense.
I can't believe somebody's actually suing over this anyway.
Well, who? Yeah, well, the beer is the beer. You don't like the beer, so what? But, and yeah, because I buy the beer believing it's Mexican when it's not. It's made in Holland.
Yeah, I love this beer. It's so delicious.
Do I like the beer
have
or not? It's all that counts.
Yeah, oh, this is the best beer ever. Oh, crap. It's not really made in Mexico?
I've been duped.
Taco Bell is not from Mexico, but it's good tacos.
That's for sure.
You know? I mean, come on. Sheesh. You know, I get sushi. It's not from Japan. Crazy people. Facebook is acquiring a company called Customer with a K, which specializes in, this is what we need. This is really what we need, by the way. Customer service platforms and chatbots.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Those are the stupid chatbots. You know, everyone's using these things. They're useless.
Terrible. Let's see here.
Hello, can I help you? I'm Karen. I will be Karen, your helper.
Yeah.
Can you tell me where you get to the? Oh, I can't answer that. I'm just a stupid bot.
I see you've had experience with this.
Oh, yeah.
I just keep on typing in the word agent or customer service agent. Customer
and what
service.
Really, here's what really irks me. You go to certain sites. I think wine.com is one of them, which I rarely buy from, but I'm always pricing their stuff. You go in there and you're looking at these wines and you're scrolling through these things. You want to read the details and boom, the screen, half the screen is wiped out by this chatbot. Can I help you?
They pop
have you
up.
Had this happen?
Take over. Yeah, they take over.
They take over the whole page. I was doing fine until you showed up.
Right. Get off of my page. It's intrusive. It also goes to show you they're watching what you're doing.
Yeah, well, this is still just an AI, supposed AI.
Yeah. We're going to skip a few of the other stories I have. We'll bring them on next week. The one thing I do want to talk about is this interesting play by a company called MicroStrategy. I have some experience with this company going back many years. A guy named Michael Saylor is the CEO. He did some funny things back in the day.
Yeah, this is a famous company.
Yep. They bought $425 million worth of Bitcoin earlier this year, but I think in August-ish. But they used it on their balance sheet as the primary treasury reserve asset. In other words, you know how companies have cash on hand?
Yeah.
On the balance sheet, you know, for
sure
things, lots of things, right? They bought $425 million worth, and they're putting it on their balance sheet. And I was wondering, is this a good business decision? I mean, they made a lot of money on it.
Triples in price, it is.
You should see the stock price. When anybody started getting wind of this over the last few weeks, the price of the stock went vertical. So this company is very susceptible to the potential of the variations in Bitcoin's price. Everybody's using this as a Bitcoin, hey, how can I get into Bitcoin without actually buying Bitcoin? Well, buy the stock MicroStrategy.
That would do it.
Yep. So I'm going to put that on the game. You probably know which direction I'm going.
Okay.
All right. What?
No, I was trying to guess what you're up to.
I'm going short.
Oh, on MicroStrategy?
Naturally.
Oh, you're going to do it on today's show?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, good.
Talk about it in a minute. And by the way, we're talking about today's show and all the shows and everybody that's listening right now. And yes, it is one of those charitable days out there. Hopefully you're giving to charities. One of the things you can also do, this is not a charity, but you can help support DH Unplugged by going over to the site, dhunplugged.com, clicking on the donate button and putting a few shekels over to John and myself to really run the show and do what we can to pay for the lights and utilities and all that good stuff. So over on dhunplugged.com. We also have the Close to the Pin for gold. And after that's done, we'll announce the Close to the Pin Cup for the year. Let's see here. Two more things. What time is it? Oh, it's getting late. The blind man. We'll talk about him next week. One quick Fed limerick, okay? From the mystery limericker or Peter Winter. Which one you want?
Yeah, I don't care. Either one.
All right, let's do Peter Winter. Peter Winters, limerick. You could send your limericks in to dhemail@dhunplug.com, and we'll read them on the show. And they should be related to the Fed somehow, and have
these are Fed limericks.
Yeah, the proper prose. Here we go. Bernanke, Yellen, and Powell, of which my savings yell foul. Now I'm forced to buy stocks, and there are no Fed hawks. Tesla is it with a scowl.
Well, that kind of fell apart.
The first two lines were fantastic.
I like the first two lines, and then the third line is kind of okay, and then it just kind of goes down the tubes, as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to give it a C+.
C+. All right, let's head over to the game.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplug.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
Okay. Okay, okay, okay. What do we got? What do we got? We got a lot of green. We still have a lot of green. We've had a lot of green.
A lot of green. A lot of green.
A lot of bright green.
A lot of bright. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing pretty well. This is the people have paid attention. They would have done well with just following our lead. I'm not looking at it at the moment.
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. Medtronic still 40 or is up 45%. IBM short. Yeah, I'm here. You there? Checking.
There's only one short on there except for the one you're going to add. So this is telling us that the market's on the upswing.
Yep. Which is no mystery.
Winner for the last few weeks is the your MJ ETF, a Biden bet.
Yeah, the marijuana.
Picked it up at 11:45. It's at 15. That's actually a really nice play. That was the best choice of anyone between the two of us, for sure. Cool. Honeywell's up 16+% and that's an upward wedge. I'm going to do a couple more of those today.
Oh, let me make some room.
Beyond Meat for some reason is on here. United Parcel seems to be, that was a good idea, but it seems to have crapped out. It's like dropped cold storage. My upward channel, another one similar, was to the Honeywell is XTL Biopharm. And you're going to add MicroStrategy as short. You're going to short the $324 stock.
Yep.
I'm going to go long on two of them.
Go ahead. Give me the names. Give me symbols. Let me.
Let me get them. NXPI.
NXPI. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, NXPI.
NXP Semi. Yep. All the semis, I think, are in it. But the one I really like here is an upward channel. They call it an upward wedge. XTL Biopharm.
What's the symbol?
XTLB.
You got that last week.
I did?
Yes.
Oh, jeez. These things just pop on the computer.
And it was upward channel right there. You wanted 25%.
Same thing. Yeah. Well, I'm re-upping.
So that's the one that would take you off now. The lead.
It's got to take off. Okay, then I can't. I got nothing else. I mean, there's some insider action, but I don't like it. And it's just not interesting.
The NXP semiconductors thesis?
The same thing as an upward channel, but it's hitting a top of the channel, and it should come down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it might break out.
Okay, there it is. Isn't this the one that does the near field communications? I believe.
One of many things. They're located down the valley. You get to drive past their facilities. At least the American version of the company.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll end it there, and we will come back and enjoy each other's company next week.
Sounds good to me.
All right, see ya.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.